Well, hello out there in Radio Land. Adam here on The Place for Talk, The Talking Place. And when I'm in front of the microphone, the world of wisecracks, WWGH Radio, broadcasting all over the universe at WWGH1071.com. And if you're in some other countries, that would be 1071.com or maybe even 1z71.com for our friends out there in Australia. So wherever you might be, welcome. We appreciate your listenership, and I'm not going to disappoint. I bring to you my partner in crime, microphone mate, and brother in broadcasting, my curly coiffed colleague, Dr. Ronald L. Feynman. How are you today, Ronald?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
How is that for an introduction? I think I have surpassed Scott Spears for introducing our guests.
Interesting way to look at it, I'll say.
The most positive light possible. You know, we talked about how you kind of resembled Mr. Cotter from the TV show and Gabe Kaplan in your earlier years. In fact, you haven't really changed much, but I saw him on, I think, The Tonight Show on one of those retro TV channels, and I might have had a couple drinks at the time, but I could have sworn he was talking to you, but I wasn't sure. Maybe it was you. Maybe it was Mr. Cotter, but either way, that fantastic hair has certainly come into play. And when Ron takes the microphone, we are going to hear great opinions, a few laughs, and maybe a little lighthearted debate. Now, Ron, you and I, on a lighter note, are both big sports fans. We are looking forward to baseball season approaching. You're a native of the East Coast, and one of your sons lives in the D.C. area, and you currently live in Florida. Of course, a Florida team looks like it's going to have to find a new quarterback. Once again, Tom Brady has retired. Now, do you think he's the Michael Jordan of football, Ron? Is he going to retire half a dozen times before he finally hangs up his helmet, or do you think this is about it for him?
I think it's finally it for him. He did retire and then come back within 2 weeks. I don't think he's going to do it again. I think he's realizing that it's time to go, because many people think that he's had brain damage for playing all those years, and it's going to start showing up in the future. He needs to take care of his health, I would say.
Like yourself, Ron, Tom is divorced. Do you think maybe he needs the paycheck with the divorce from the supermodel?
Well, I don't think he needs money in that sense, but of course, people with that kind of money never have enough, I don't think he needs the money, but he's going to be doing sportscasting for Fox, so I'm sure he's going to be paid quite well. Yeah. In fact, I know he's being paid $275 million, I think.
Yeah, I heard he's going to get more money broadcasting than he is playing. But
I'd gladly accept $275 million to be on the radio.
So the Tampa Bay team, which is not really a local team where you are, but geographically fairly close.
Central Florida,
they will have to find a new quarterback, but I'm sure, considering all the millions of dollars that these people make, that will not be a problem. Now, we also have the Kansas City Chiefs, who beat my beloved Cincinnati Bengals, sometimes called the Bungles, in a controversial game with, I think, some officials who probably need to take a trip to the eye doctor, if you want my opinion. We were joking earlier, Ron. Remember when Donald Trump congratulated Kansas City and he congratulated all the people of Kansas, and he got some flack for that. But honestly, as I told you, Kansas City is in both states. The bigger one is in Missouri, but the suburbs are in Kansas. So to me, it's like, well, if the Reds or the Bengals win something, you can congratulate the people in Kentucky, because a lot of the Cincinnati suburbs are in Kentucky.
That's true.
So I don't think it was a big deal. I think it was kind of funny. Of course,
the stadium is in Missouri. I'm saying the stadium is in Missouri,
Right, but but I remember that the Charlotte baseball team, their stadium is in South Carolina, because that's a border state. So sometimes, and the Cincinnati airport, which I think you flew into one time, is in Kentucky. So
I was staying in a hotel in Kentucky when I went to see the William Howard Taft Presidential Museum in Cincinnati. Yes, and also go to a Reds game.
Yeah, I think there can be a joke or two about Donald Trump. Maybe he can't utter a geographical phrase longer than...
He has no geography.
Yeah, I mean, maybe Kansas, he can't really say more than two syllables, because Missouri has three syllables, and who knows?
Well, is it Missouri or Missouri? That's the issue, too.
I've also heard misery, so... It wasn't a bad state, though, for the Lepp family, because my sister was born in St. Louis. We lived there briefly, And we always would say Missouri.
Well, St. Louis is a nice city. I like St. Louis.
Just like,
but actually, Kansas City was also good for tourism. They have the World War I Museum there.
Of course, Kansas City also was the downfall to Mr. Tom Brenneman and another controversial sports act. I think you remember that from a couple years ago. So, you know, a little bit of humor in sports to lighten up the program before we get to the more serious topics. And, you know, laughter is the best medicine. Now, Ron is on with me regularly, and sometimes he even shares a microphone with the interviewer to the stars, Scott Spears. And sometimes he writes for History News Network, and he always writes his personal blog, The Progressive Professor, which you can view by going to theprogressiveprofessor.com. It is considered an educated view from the left. But sometimes it's not quite as political. Sometimes it's very political. Again, left, but not super left. And many times it's just a little take and, of course, always a little obligatory humor on presidential and American history. So we do encourage you folks to read it. And, you know, 2 to 3 minutes is the typical time to digest. And I guarantee you, you will learn something after perusing said blog.
So. Yeah, may I interject here that I've written The Progressive Professor for 14 and a half years. August 2008 I started, so it's halfway to 15 years, and I just reached 7,700 entries.
Well, that's pretty good. You are a prolific, prolific progressive professor, for sure.
I never thought I would accomplish that much, but I don't talk to students about this, but I always say how much I admire John Quincy Adams, who wrote a diary from age 12 to age 80, 68 years. I don't tell them about mine, but I'm thinking to myself, I can't match him, but I'm trying to at least have as many years and entries as I can.
We will discuss some of the recent blog entries with, again, my guest, Dr. Ron Fineman, and we encourage you to read the blog. Follow him on Facebook, on Twitter, under PolitHist. And in general, listen to these programs because, again, your brain cells will thank you profusely. Now, first, let's get to what, to some people, Ron, is the biggest news story in a while. And that would be that spy balloon from China. A lot of controversy, you know, what Donald Trump...
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to react to it yet on the blog, but
What Donald Trump would have done versus what we call him Joe Rob.
Well, what I gather, he knew about it, but we didn't know about it, and nothing was done.
Yeah.
According to what I've heard, on the radio anyway, and on TV, yeah.
Yeah, so apparently Joe Biden did make the decision to, out of lack of a better term, discontinue its presence in, I guess, the Montana and Rocky Mountain part of the country. What do you think of the decision? And do you agree that Donald Trump would have been a little more aggressive, and would that have been a better idea?
Well, again, there were incidents where this happened, and nothing was done that we know of under Trump. So I actually think it made sense to wait until it was over the ocean because, again, it could have done damage and killed people, you know, if it was being shot over land. So I don't see the real problem because we'll recover all the material in the ocean. While it might not have been possible if it was on land. So, it's not a good public relations situation, I agree. But there is no good one. But what gets me is the Chinese are angry about it. That is unbelievable. They're, like, blaming us for trying to protect our own national security. It's just really a scary situation with China.
I mean, we're not experts on defense and national security, Ron, but I think we agree. We understand that something invading U.S. airspace, the policy is to shoot it down. We don't like to do something like that, but we don't have much of a choice. Our national security is paramount to everything.
Yes.
I mean,
but I still think the way it was done wasn't necessarily the wrong way. It was not just him. It was his own military that said, wait till it goes over the ocean. So in a way, he could be taken to blame if you're going to blame him, but it's not like he did it without some advice from military people.
I mean, the buck stops here, as we've said.
Yeah.
Again, whether it be gas prices, the eggs at $6, $7, $8 an hour. We're not saying the president sets gas prices. I've never said that, but his policies do influence them, just like interest rates and almost everything. I mean, it comes down the food chain, and the president is essentially the leader of the free world, and good and bad. I mean, there are good things that happen, bad things that happen during all administrations. And we've talked about presidential rankings, Ron. We understand, you know, you're not a Donald Trump fan, and most people that rank presidents, You know, Donald Trump certainly is in the bottom part of the listing, but he does get a lot of points for luck and just the fact that things kind of go his way. In fact, normally he's in the top 50 percentile for that. I think you would agree. I mean, he had some lucky breaks. Biden's had some unlucky breaks, but that's all part of it. That applies, you know, it applies in sports. I mean, goodness sakes, look at the unlucky breaks the Bengals had. But some, you know, to me, it's, you know, that essentially game-ending penalty at the end. I would tend to say it was too strict, but almost every penalty in football is a gray area. And you know, just every pass interference and many of the unsportsmanlike or unnecessary roughness calls, it's a gray area. Now, sometimes it's very obvious, but even the people that would agree with the call of the 15-yard penalty that essentially ended the Bengals' season during the playoff game against Kansas City, it was a borderline call. And just because you side with one team doesn't mean you're going to side one way. And although I think in this case it was a bit too strict, but you know, it's the same with a lot of decisions and a lot of things that happen. You make your own luck, Ron, but sometimes things just fall into place. And I think we can agree, regardless of how we feel about Donald, you know, neither of us like him as a man. You know, I think under his presidency some good things happened and could have happened, but as a person, he certainly isn't one of my favorite dudes. We can agree on that second point. But we would agree that he did have some good things turn his way during his presidency. So he does score high in that luck, you know, or
talk about
fortune.
Luck. A person who had a lot of bad luck, although he had good luck, but the bad luck seemed to dominate, is Jimmy Carter in office. For the last year, when everything went down the drain with, you know, with the Cuban boat lift, and also the the Soviet Union in Afghanistan, and also the idea of you know the other issue of the Iran hostage seizure. It's just such bad luck.
I think
he actually has a pretty good record, but that tends to dominate how people look at Carter.
Yeah, and I think as a man, you know, I'm not a Carter fan, but I love his family. I love Billy. He's my favorite presidential sibling of all time. I always liked Amy. I liked his mom. Like his wife. And you know, as a man, I mean, how could you not like Jimmy Carter? I mean, he's like your favorite uncle, and the guy's still alive, you know, after,
and he's 98 and 4 months.
Yeah,
imagine
100 years since he's been president. He's almost 100, and
another 20 months he'll be 100.
But I think, you know, bringing that up, Ron, interestingly, I mean, when Ronald Reagan was inaugurated, I remember doing this, people were switching before the technology we have now, one channel showed Reagan getting inaugurated. The other channel showed the hostages being released. And it's like he worked and worked until the end of his term as a lame duck president. And that, to me, you know, a very tragic event, but it ended up where they were released and got a lot of publicity. That was the beginning of his former presidency. And, you know, I'll agree he's our best former president ever, certainly our longest lived. Elder statesman, you know, how could you not love the guy? I mean, I'm not saying he was our greatest president. In fact, I think he was one of our worst presidents, but one of the best men to hold the office.
And by the way, as far as religion, what I call a really true good Christian, not a phony.
Yeah, I like that he's down to earth like myself, you know, good country boy, and very underestimated in the IQ department. One of our, you know, smartest.
Yeah, he's considered one of the highest IQs, as far as we can tell on IQs, right up there with Jefferson and John Quincy Adams and Bill Clinton.
Yeah, just
also is very high.
Interestingly, I think the fact that his presidency ended with the hostages being released, you know, blame whom you want for the situation. I blame the president, not fully, but partially, because the buck stops here. We can agree on that.
Yeah.
That was the beginning of a long-lived and some quite productive. I mean, he's written books, etc. He's still does ministering, I believe. He still builds houses at 150 years old. I mean, he's incredible. That was the beginning, Ron, of 1981. Is that right? Goodness sakes, how long?
42 years have gone by in retirement.
Over 42 years ago.
And his wife is 95, and she's older than any first lady now except for Bess Truman.
So that was the beginning of a glorious, still in existence, former presidency. So, you know, Jimmy Carter, one of the fascinating people that will go down in history. So, whereas, you know, Donald
Absolutely.
Trump.
Absolutely. And when he got elected, I was not particularly thrilled. I voted for him, but I wasn't inspired. But in his post-presidency, I really have come to love the guy, you know?
You know, Donald Trump, think what you want about the guy, but colorful would certainly be a word we can all agree on. Adam here speaking with Dr. Ron Feynman, joking around a bit, talking about some lighter topics. But let's get to a heavier topic. Let's go back to your neighborhood, Ron. We talked about Tom Brady, and maybe at 45, 46, he has hung up his helmet. Who knows? Hard to tell with some of these people, but quite a career, and if not the greatest quarterback ever, one of the greatest. And I don't think he'll have trouble paying any alimony to his former wife, because as we talked about, his salary as a sportscaster will be higher than a football player. He'll just have to buy some better clothing, but that's okay. I'm sure with what he makes, he can afford a fancy designer suit. Let's go to the governor of your state of Florida, Ron. We call him Ron number two, because he's younger, quite a bit younger than I am. Ron DeSantis, according to your blog on February 1st, is a right-wing threat undermining basic human rights, education, health care, and harming public safety. Now, we've talked about that regardless of what he claims, Ron number two, that is your governor, Ron DeSantis, Republican from Florida, does want to be the next president of the United States of America. I guess it'd be interesting. Just think about it. He was born late 70s, right? So he would be the first president.
Yes.
He would be 78. Right. Be the first president. Obama was it 59 or 60? But right around 1960.
61.
Yeah. Okay. 61.
Yeah.
I thought it was. Yeah. Because it was just right after Hawaii became a state, because that's come up. That. Was he born in Kenya?
59 was Hawaii.
Was he born
in the state? Yeah.
Was he born in Hawaii? Well, yeah, I believe he was born in Hawaii, and there's kind of the irony. Hawaii had just become a state.
Even the territory, it's still like John McCain was born in the Panama Canal Zone when so in 2008, both were born outside the continental United States, McCain and Obama.
Right, but he was a military brat though, so that was the difference. But yes, Obama was born in the United States, even though. It was
was McCain, but right. Not on the mainland.
Yeah. Right, but it was a close call. But if DeSantis is president, be the first president born in the 1970s, and all I can say to that is it'll make me feel old because I was born in the 60s, but that's okay. Anyway, with Mr. DeSantis, Ron, we do like his education. We agree, very smart man, well-spoken. He went to two different Ivy League schools. He's no dummy, so to speak. But you're kind of saying that's what's dangerous because he's conniving and controlling.
Yes.
Almost like, and people have said this, a bit like Donald Trump in philosophy, but much more spoken. It would certainly beat the Donald on an IQ test. I think even Donald's biggest supporters would agree with that. As someone in education, Ron, you're still professoring, if that's a word. You're concerned.
51 years now, of course. Yep.
You're concerned that again, Ron DeSantis, Ron number two, is limiting what people can teach: Black history, other types of ethnic history. What books can be used? Is that's to me as an educator, that's going to be one of your biggest concerns, obviously, because we're all in favor of free speech.
Yeah, banning books reminds me of Nazi Germany. Next thing is to burn them. Jokingly about the burning part. But in the libraries, too, where people now are being told that if they don't remove the improper books, they can have a third-degree felony, up to 5 years in jail. This is insane. The man is out of control. He's also fired school board members, then appoints Republican replacements. And then he also fired a prosecutor who was elected. How can you do that? That's not legal.
Now, has any of your professor friends, Ron, been affected by this? You said some have quit or kind of toned down what they're saying. Have any been penalized for what they're teaching? Do you have any firsthand experience with this?
Not on the college level, but of course, I'm only a part-time person. Nobody's ever mentioned anything, but I know on the high school level, I've noticed a lot of ads for people to teach social sciences. A lot of people, I guess, are leaving. It's going to cause a real teaching shortage, not only in that, but even in things like math. He's controlling the kind of math problems that are going to be discussed in a math class. So he's interfering with the whole curriculum and giving parents who often are not well informed the ability to control what goes on in a classroom. But that is not the place of parents to decide what is taught in a classroom. It never has been and it never should be, any more than a doctor or lawyer should be told how to do things by government or by parents.
And I've asked you this about Donald, and I think Scott did also, Ron. Other than his education and intelligence and being well-spoken, someone you know who certainly fits some of the on paper qualifications of a president or politician. Is there anything you like about Ron DeSantis? How did he handle the hurricanes and other weather issues that you have in Florida, for example? Anything about him that you think is positive?
Not easy. In the beginning, I thought so in 19 when he came in because he was new. When he did some work on the environment, I thought it was pretty good in the beginning. But now he's done all kinds of things like the political stunt about shipping Venezuelan migrants to Martha's Vineyard. And also, working to take away abortion rights more than they already are in Florida, and also the idea of open carry on guns. He's pro-life, meaning he doesn't want fetuses not to be born, but he doesn't care about people's lives being threatened by open carry on guns. I mean, it's so contradictory, and he's not the only one who does it, but he affects my state, and it's really a dangerous thing, particularly after the Parkland School massacre in 2018 and the Orlando Pulse massacre at a gay club in 2015. And he's also declared war on gay people. I mean, you don't have to like it, but this reminds me of Anita Bryant in the 1970s. I think he's a combination of George Wallace, Anita Bryant, and a few other people. I mean, he's really scary, and I do worry that he is a narrow-minded view, and he'd be very dangerous in the presidency.
But we shall see what happens. People have talked about Nikki Haley. You know, I, for the most part, like her. I don't agree with her on everything, but I mean, we both
Nikki
like...
Nikki Haley, yeah. I don't like as much as I did. You know, I'm a little, but I must admit, she certainly is more palatable than a lot of Republicans,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, she's middle of the road on a lot of people issues and very well-spoken, very easy on the eyes, multicultural. You know, I like that, but we want to pick the most qualified candidate. But
yeah, I must say about South Carolina, she's from South Carolina. Tim Scott, the only African-American Republican senator, is thinking of running. He's also from there. And meanwhile, Trump held a so-called campaign rally, not much of one, and both Lindsey Graham and the governor, Henry McMaster, endorsed him. So they're backing him over their own senator and a former governor. It's going to be an interesting thing, as I wrote about in South Carolina, as far as who wins there, because if they all run, the three of them, that's quite a combination.
Yeah, well, never a dull moment in the political arena.
And South Carolina is now the first state in the Democratic primaries. They're not giving it to Iowa and New Hampshire. So South Carolina, even if it's not in the Republican primaries, it's going to be the first place of voting in 2024 in the Democratic Party primaries.
But either way, Ron, this next presidential election, we say that every time, but it'll once again be probably the most interesting and hotly contested one ever. Of course, with all the social media, the tweeting, the Facebooking, and all that good stuff, the word just gets out so quickly. People talk on social media, websites, the tweets, the controversy, you know, the he said, she said. So fasten your seatbelts, boys and girls. This is going to be another very cool election.
It's going to be very controversial. A lot to write about and we talk about. And, there's no question. Every election is now, yes.
You know, we're already more than half done with this program. And just like every show, Ron, as I always say, my mama told me, time flies when you're having fun. So once again, time is flying. And we'll say that in 20 minutes from now when the program ends. Never a dearth of things to talk about. Let's go to a city between where you hang your hat and I hang my hat. A very tragic story. The murder of Tyre Nichols by Memphis police officers, totally beyond the pale. You wrote about that about a week ago in your blog. Not much to say. I mean, we're both very pro-law enforcement. And, you know, there are good cops and bad cops, just like in every profession.
But it gets me, five officers, they all happen to be black, did this. I'm not saying it would be good if it was white, but I couldn't believe it when I first read it. I said, five black officers did this to a black guy? And he didn't do anything. Maybe he was speeding. I don't even know if it's that. There's nothing else that shows he has no criminal record. He was a gentle soul. And honestly, when I looked at the pictures of these five cops, I thought a lot of them looked like gang member types. They look very tough looking. You know, just their photograph. Maybe they're trying to look tough. They're police. But I just thought, what is going on here? And he was so close to where his parents' home was that he couldn't get there. And it's such a tragic situation.
Yeah, I mean,
and yet nothing's going to be done about it.
Yeah, I mean, the punishment should fit the crime. And a speeding ticket, that's a relatively small civil fine. So, you know, I don't know the entire situation. But as someone who's very pro-law enforcement, always have had utmost respect for police officers, these bad ones really leave a scar. And we don't want to bias all police officers, Ron, by what these officers did. But it was inexcusable, and let's hope that it never happens again. We want to.
Yes, but imagine that also the medical people came and didn't help him for like 19 minutes. You know, obviously he needed help. Why did they wait? They might have saved his life if they had. So it's not even just the cops. It's also the medical people. That it just is mind blowing, and it makes you wonder: could this happen to you or me or anybody? Not just a black man. Somebody could just be stopped for maybe a violation and have this kind of treatment anywhere. It's just horrifying. It's like Nazi Germany in the concept. It's crazy.
Yeah, not a good day from the beautiful city of Memphis for law enforcement and others in the protection business. Let's hope that we can learn from our mistakes and that this never happens again. I don't know what to say. It's horrible and inexcusable. And if nothing else, let's learn from this tragic event.
One thing I wonder is if it's possible, we have to see, whether this victim knew any of the five officers. Maybe there was a grudge. I don't know, but I'm just wondering. Because why would they do that? I don't understand it. It just sounds like there's something we don't know about it.
Yeah, I mean, that came up in the George Floyd case where the officer and George Floyd used to work together. I don't know. Either way, it's inexcusable. So
the George Floyd case, the guy who was abusive did know him and worked at the same nightclub or something. So that, you know, that was something. I'm sorry. That's what I'm thinking. There's got to be more information.
It makes no sense
why they would overreact. And five of them, if one or two did and the others said, hey, stop, that would be different. But all five of them kicked him in the face and everything. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, something else is occurring. We may never know, but either way, it's inexcusable. And
I hope they get serious convictions. But again, with a good lawyer, they may not. You know.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens. I don't know what to say. I mean, it's tragic, and to me, you're torn when you have always respected law enforcement. Tell people to respect law enforcement. Teach that to your children and friends.
In general,
but understand
in
all professions there are good and bad, and let's hope that there aren't any other bad ones, because these five are pretty bad, to put it mildly.
But as I said on Sunday, last year, about 1,200 people were killed by police. Well, only 64 officers were killed. Of course, both are horrible, but 1,200 people, and a lot of them are minorities. I just don't understand, you know, why such large numbers. And even 64 officers being killed is shocking. But it's so unbelievable, these numbers, you know?
Yeah, don't know what to say. Respect law enforcement, obey the law. And let's hope that we quickly weed out any bad cops, because bad isn't the word for the police officers, I mean, in this particular situation. Adam here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio, talking with Dr. Ron Fineman about some current events, presidential politics, and, of course, always a surprise or two. He writes the blog, TheProgressiveProfessor.com. On the 4th of February, Ron, Republicans, Democrats, and the economy, the truth. Now, no secret, you are a Democrat, not quite as far to the left as some other Democrats, but you certainly are well in the left side. That blog article, which was longer than most of your articles, I've told people it's usually a 2 or 3 minute read. Well, if you read fast, I guess it is. But this one should be read slowly, because it has a lot of stuff there. Pretty much making it clear that most of the good economy has happened under Democratic presidents, and Bill Clinton.
Well, it's
certainly
the fact that the major social justice legislation has been under Democrats, as I point out, Social Security under FDR, Medicare and Medicaid under LBJ, the Affordable Care Act under Obama, and OECR is the only Republican that really promoted ideas that later were picked up by FDR, Truman, Kennedy, Johnson, and not so much Carter, but somewhat Clinton, and definitely Obama, and now Biden. Yeah,
Bill Clinton certainly had an economy that I remember well, where things were thriving. People had jobs. We didn't quite have the inflation we're seeing right now, and the country had a pretty good outlook and attitude in general. Now, Reagan, I think, was good for our attitude, but I don't think the economy was quite as good. So,
no, it's a very bad recession in 82, as I point out. All the economic downturns since 53, except for Carter, briefly in 80, which also helped to defeat him, were under Republican presidents, not Democrats. It's just a fact of life. You can look it up. It's not like I'm making it up. I'm not saying they wanted to do it. I'm just saying that's how it worked out.
Now, if we go back to the Theodore Roosevelt administration, it's not really a apples to apples because both parties have changed quite a bit. And Roosevelt, number one, Theodore was certainly more middle of the road, if not rather liberal Republican leader, and even Nixon, although there are certainly economy issues.
Well, Nixon's the only Republican president since Theodore Roosevelt to be not liberal. He would probably choke on that word, but let's say he was, for a Republican, quite liberal, but not liberal like a Democrat, yes.
Right.
Nixon actually promoted the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, Consumer Product Safety Commission, in the sense that while Democrats pushed it through, he signed it. He could have vetoed it and that would have become law, so we give Nixon credit. That's true.
Yeah. Of course, it's hard, especially for me, Ron, as an independent, you know, independent-leaning libertarian. It's hard for me even to describe, well, what is a Democrat? What is a Republican? What is the difference? What makes somebody an R versus a D? So let me ask you, because I, you know, really, even at my current age, we won't discuss that age, but it, you know, increases by the day. what is the difference? What is a Republican, Ron? What is a Democrat? And why do Democrats, do you believe, preside over a better economy than Republicans do?
Well, again, it's hard to generalize in this brief discussion here, but Democrats believe in social justice. They care more, and it's shown by their legislation, for the middle class and the poor. And they believe in more taxation of the wealthy, while Republicans do not. And they don't like federal government doing anything. They've tried to, from the beginning, they've always tried to get rid of Social Security. Now they want to downgrade it. Same with Medicare, and now with Obamacare. They are false. None of them are perfect. But they all made life better for many people. They really did. And Republicans are very big toward corporations and the wealthy, and they gave massive tax cuts three times under George W. Bush, under Ronald Reagan, and under Donald Trump. And one-fourth of the whole national debt was due to Trump being in office and those tax cuts he did. So, I mean, if you looked at the numbers I came up with, I didn't make them up. The fact is, the 33.8 million jobs were created under Bill Clinton and Barack Obama, 12.1 under Joe Biden in 2 years, all-time high, and under Republicans Bush, and Trump, only 1.9 million. That's fact. It's not myth. You look it up. I'm not making this up. And Donald Trump's the first president since Hoover, Republican president, to have a net loss of jobs. Now, part of it due to the pandemic. Okay. But again, if you're going to say Carter gets blamed for what happened, which he couldn't control, then Trump has to be blamed for what happened that he couldn't control.
Now, one thing I've told people and kind of thought to myself is, and I think you would agree, Ron, capitalism is by nature, by definition, a more conservative approach. That is, you start a business, you get a job, or if you have a legitimate reason, receive government assistance. You save money, you spend wisely, the money grows, and you live comfortably. And that would seem to be a little more Republican. Do you agree with that, or do we have this compassionate capitalism, which is probably the best way to describe it, where the Republican and Democratic philosophies can kind of coexist without going into the socialism of a very liberal person?
The thing is, Republicans say about Democrats are socialists. They're not. But, of course, they said that about FDR was a socialist. They said it about Johnson was a socialist. That's just propaganda. It's just they believe in social justice, they believe in more government intervention in the economy. I'm talking about Democrats. Republicans want to leave business alone and leave wealthy people alone, and they want to cut back, as they're trying to do. Like, even in Florida, Medicaid, there's 11 states that don't have an expansion of Medicaid for people, for their health care, people that are very desperate. Florida is one of them. Texas is another. If those two states actually had Medicaid expansion, we would have a much better economic situation because an awful lot of people live in Florida and in Texas. So, I mean, it's just a question of humanity, as I see it. The Republican Party now is not what it was in the 70s and 80s and 60s, when actually a lot of governors and senators I actually liked, and I could have voted for some of them, you know, at the time also. But now they're so far to the right in their viewpoint, and they're allowing the MAGA people, like Marjorie Taylor Greene, Lauren Boebert, Matt Gaetz, and Paul Gosar, and also Jim Jordan in your area, and others, to dominate. And it's not the mainstream Republican Party it used to be. So it's much further to the right, almost fascist in nature in that regard. Of course, some of the people in the Democratic Party might be considered socialists, I guess, like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, for instance, maybe. But to me, it's still the threat from the right extremists is far greater than the left, have to look at reality
so
as I see it.
You're labeling yourself, or at least classifying, I don't like labels, let's say classifying yourself as a middle-of-the-road, maybe old-school Democrat, where you agree capitalism is a more conservative approach, and we are a capitalist society, but we have what I call the compassionate capitalism, which means we're not socialist. We do care about people. We do provide government services, but you still got to earn a buck, so to speak. You don't believe in handouts and start a business.
Well, I'm a Hubert Humphrey liberal originally, you know, in the 60s, and then I like Joe Biden. Not perfect. Nobody's perfect. But to me, Joe Biden and his manner, his compassion, his empathy, his decency remind me of Hubert Humphrey, so I always liked him after Humphrey passed away in 1978. He was my favorite figure. Never thought he'd be president, but he's turned out, and no matter what they say, he's accomplished a lot in 2 years, more than anybody in the first 2 years since LBJ, and he's a moderate centrist, a little to the left, but not extreme, and that's where most people, I think, are.
Adam here with Dr. Ronald L. Fineman, talking about some very basic principles. Just what's a Democrat? What is a Republican? What's the difference? And how have the parties changed? They certainly have changed a lot in my lifetime. And how do we classify a Republican who did a lot of left-leaning things, like Richard Nixon? How do we classify a more conservative Democrat like Jimmy Carter? And how have the parties morphed? And now we're kind of seeing a divisiveness where there are a lot of far-left people and a lot of far-right people, and many like myself, I think a number a lot bigger than people think it is, who are nonpartisan, have kind of that libertarian attitude based upon the freedoms that America stands for. And, you know, me, I go issue by issue. So I tell people, Ron, here's how to understand my politics. There's no secret what I think about masks, and not just their lack of effectiveness, but laws requiring them to be used. You've talked about in your blog about your governor and his surgeon general, who wants to penalize institutions who require masks. Obviously, I agree greatly with that, and that's definitely a big gold star for me. But let's just say that I'm as pro-choice as I am anti-mask. So anybody who worries about my politics, wonders about my politics, or didn't know, there's an explanation, which I consider to be a libertarian approach. Doesn't mean that the government should not provide laws and requirements and penalties. I just think they need to keep their nose out of some people's business and allow us to make our own decisions and look at both sides. And I also feel that, again, with my own background, I can make a decision as to masks, and so be it. That's how it is. But that just explains my own politics, and I guess that's why I never really fit into any particular political party.
I wanted to mention that. I think there's more independence now than ever before.
People
not aligned to either party,
think,
you know.
People whose beliefs are almost consistent with mine are much larger number than people think. But even if people don't have the same beliefs that I do, even if they're totally opposite, but they still can call themselves independent. Because, you know, the libertarian, I would say it's more of a movement than a party, is kind of based upon it being independent. And looking at the philosophy, looking at why the United States separated from the UK to begin with, that we have liberties, we have freedoms as Americans. And, you know, as I say, if you don't like this, don't do it, don't buy it, don't associate with it, but we still have to have laws. But I think those can very much coexist, that I really don't see a similarity between, let's say, a mask mandate or making abortion illegal. I don't see that as being similar to laws against criminal activity or against civil offenses such as libel or antitrust, for example. Those kinds of things can coexist, and that's kind of the philosophy that I've always lived by. We should just like I talk about compassionate capitalism, I think we need to live responsibly, enjoying the liberties that we all treasure as Americans. And of course that includes free speech. So that's kind of how I roll, in case people were wondering. And it's important, I think, that we know what the philosophies of our populace are, and we can make ourselves better by learning from each other. That's a nice thought. Let's hope that we can continue to embrace that. Adam here with Dr. Ron Fineman on our regular radio program, Mid-Morning Coffee Break, Andy Adam, the computer guy, radio extravaganza on the talking place, WWGH Radio. Now let's get to one of our favorite topics, Ron, with about 4 or 5 minutes left. And, of course, that would be the field of Republican presidential candidates, some of which are friends and fans of the Donald, and some of which are not. Now, we've talked about this topic many, many times. So what we have, of course, Adam Kinzinger or Liz Cheney. Those are the two that come up a lot. You did write in your blog a few days ago, you know, I like Kinzinger because I like his first name. It's the same first name as myself. And he's fairly moderate.
He's a very good candidate. Yeah.
Yeah. Seems highly unlikely to mount a campaign. And again, Liz Cheney, daughter of the vice president you don't want to go hunting with, Dick Cheney, stating she would do everything possible to stop Trump. Will she actually run against him or form an independent party candidacy? Would be a little ironic, Ron, that you've talked about some Democrats are sexist. I mean, we're not saying they all are, but you've said some are, and I agree. Some people are sexist. I'm certainly not, but some people are. But wouldn't it be ironic, though, if the first female president were a Republican? That would be kind of...
And Dick Cheney's daughter, imagine that.
Yeah, that would be kind of... We've had children of presidents before.
Sons. Adams and Bush, yeah.
Yeah, but in the case of Liz, that would be a daughter. Wouldn't that be kind of fascinating?
Yeah, now, but other than those two, and Mitt Romney, who I don't think is going to run, and maybe former Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson, I'm really disillusioned that everybody else condemned Trump, but they all say if he's the nominee, they would vote for him, rather than say parties are more important than country. Even Larry Hogan has said that recently, and so has Chris Sununu of New Hampshire. I'm shocked. I'm absolutely shocked that they're against him, but they would still back the party. Party should not come before country.
Yeah,
and
guess,
to me,
yeah.
With him saying, about Trump saying the Constitution should be torched, I don't understand it. I really don't.
Yeah, that's not much like what I said, issues are more important. Who cares about parties? But if you are running for president, you really do need to align yourself with Democrat or Republican, even if you may not agree with what the party has to say. It's a slippery slope.
Yeah, but Princess John Kasich in 16 did not back Trump. Now, he didn't get anywhere, but he didn't back him. There are people, and these are people not running for office, who, you know, plenty of Republicans not running for office who have become former Republicans, but all these people want to be president. They want to run and defeat him, but if he's dominated, they'll back him, except for those few I mentioned. And I just don't understand the reasoning on that.
Of course, time flies when you're having fun. We've covered about 5% of our scheduled topics, but that's okay. Just let them be in suspense for the next episode. So we'll conclude with Arkansas. Of course, the last time we had an Arkansas governor run for president, he was very successful. In fact, I call him the best president in my lifetime, and he got reelected, and his wife almost became the next president. So this Asa Hutchinson, I don't know much about, that's a boy, not a girl, right?
Yes.
Okay, I really don't know much about Asa. I'm always asking
you. He was one of the campaign people to impeach Bill Clinton as a congressman in 1998. He was one of the team that was doing that. So maybe we'll reconsider that, how you feel about it.
So, yeah, I'm always asking, is it a boy or a girl? But we've had a Jamie and Asa. Sometimes you don't really know, so thought I would ask you. Don't want to be wrong. Anyway, I don't know much about Asa Hutchinson, Ron, but you're saying a more moderate Republican. You wouldn't mind.
He's conservative, but he's very critical, and he hasn't actually been asked yet, would you back him if he's a nominee? He's got to be asked that, because Hogan was asked, and he said he would still back him, although he wouldn't want him, and the same with Sununu, and I was so shocked when I heard that.
He was born in Bentonville, the same place that Walmart was born. He's 72 years old, so he'd be sticking with older men as presidents. American attorney, businessman, and politician.
Romney, voted to convict him. So I don't. If he was to run, but I don't think he will. He's 77. I think he would. He would not. I don't think he'll back Trump no matter what. Romney looks better now, 12 years later. 10 years later, I gotta say that.
William Asa Hutchinson II. Yeah, just interesting resume. I don't want to make any jokes, Ron, but we talked about Ron DeSantis, who went to Harvard and Yale or a couple other Ivy League schools. I mean, went to some well-known schools. Asa Hutchinson went to Bob Jones University. No, I don't want to.
Yeah, I wouldn't exactly get thrilled about Bob Jones University. Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I don't want to, you know, make any jokes and be critical, but something tells me, Ron, Bob Jones University probably is a bit below in the competitiveness scale from...
Well, if you're going to go by elitism with schools, yes, I would agree.
Yeah, it's...
I'm not impressed by him. It's just that he seems to be a little more decent, in quotes, than many of them. But maybe he's not even decent once he answers, oh, I'd back him if he's nominated. If that's the case, then throw him out, I would say.
Their mascot is Brody the Bruin. So, you know, maybe I've underestimated the school. Looking at it, the credentials look decent. It's in South Carolina. I just had not heard of it, and I've heard of most colleges. And he went to the University of Arkansas School of Law.
Yeah, that's all right. But Bob Jones is not a place that I'm impressed by. And I wasn't thinking about that when I just said he's one of the few who's been critical, and it seems like he would not back him. But he actually hasn't been asked, so that's the question. Yeah. If that's the case, they were left with just the two people on the January 6th committee, and maybe Mitt Romney, who's not going to run probably anyway. And that's about it. So the Republican Party has sold its soul to Donald Trump, pretty much.
I mean, he's 72, so this is the year to decide, I think. Want to thank Dr. Ron Fineman for joining me here. Once again, time flies, but that's all part of the fun, as my beloved mama said. Be sure to read his blog regularly, theprogressiveprofessor.com. Thank you for listening.
Thank you so much.
And if you missed this episode or any other one, be sure to visit our website. Look under the Adam section for archives of this and other programs. Adam here on The Talking Place. WWGH Radio.